Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the H2O Innovation conference call announcing its second quarter 2020 financial results. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence d'H2O Innovation annonçant les résultats financiers du deuxième trimestre 2020. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instruction will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulty hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. Cet appel se déroulera en anglais, mais n'hésitez pas à poser vos questions en français. Before turning the meeting over to management, please be advised that this conference call will contain statements that could be forward-looking and subject to a number of risks and uncertainties and could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, February 12, 2020, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. I will now turn the conference over to your host, Monsieur Frédéric Dugré et Marc Blanchet. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Marc Blanchet. I'm CFO of H2O Innovation. This call will be held in English, but I'll just say a brief word in French to our French audience. Merci, bonjour à tous. Dans un premier temps, j'aimerais vous remercier d'assister à cet appel et vous aviser que même si l'appel se tiendra en anglais, nous répondrons aux questions qui seront posées en français dans la seconde partie de l'appel. Pour faciliter le suivi de l'appel, je vous invite à télécharger la présentation sur notre site internet h2oinnovation.com dans la section investisseurs. Before we begin, I invite you to download a copy of today's presentation, which can be found on our website at h2oinnovation.com in the section investors. Frédéric Dugré, President and CEO of H2O, is joining me today for the call, which duration is approximately 30 minutes. During this call, Frédéric will give an update on the business and present highlights of the second quarter of 2020. It's our fiscal year 2020, which ended December 31st, 2019. And I will be presenting the financial result of this quarter. Please take a moment to read the forward-looking statement on page 2 and the non-IFRS financial measures on page 3 of the presentation. And I'll pass over to Frédéric.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you for joining the call today regarding the presentation of our second quarter results and the December 31st, 2019. As presenting on number 4, on page number 4, this second quarter was punctuated by three important events. First of all, the acquisition of Genesis, completed on November 15, 2019, is allowing us to do three things. First, the combination of the two product lines, one innovative product line using phosphate-free chemicals, and the other one made of conventional and proven chemistry, will enable us to enlarge the product offering to our customers. Second, by combining and integrating the Genesis distributors with PWT distributors network, it will allow us to build one of the largest distribution platform of specialty chemicals, counting approximately 100 distributors in more than 70 countries. Finally, the acquisition of Genesis will allow us to leverage our chemical manufacturing capabilities in order to ensure continuous supplies of chemical, to reduce freight costs, and avoid certain commercial tariffs. The second quarter was very busy for our specialty components, notably Piedmont. Indeed, during this period, we have successfully secured multiple large filter housing and couplings order totaling $3.5 million, including a significant order for the largest desalination plant in the world, Tawila. Finally, the successful renewal and scope expansion of three major O&M contracts located in Mississippi and Vermont have allowed us to increase our O&M sales backlog by nearly $30 million. Our business model, presented on page number 5, focused on growing recurring sales and improving our profit margin through specialty products, is delivering positive results. Indeed, the growth of 77% of the specialty products fueled by the Genesis acquisition in November 2019 combined to the organic growth of the other business lines of specialty products is just remarkable. Similarly, the 34% revenue growth of the O&M activity, boosted by the acquisition of A's completed in December 2018, is in line with our business plan strategy. The sustained growth of the second and third business pillar, offset by a 38% revenue decrease of the first business pillar, the project business, caused by a delayed project. Our business model, relying on three distinct but highly complementary business pillars, now count 8 business lines, providing our customer with a unique value-added proposition. Moving to slide number 6, we see that our business mix has a strong impact on our adjusted EBITDA improvement and the level of recurrent revenues. For this second quarter 2020, looking at the last 12 months, we continue to observe growth, mostly fueled by the growth of our second and third business pillar. The strategy to grow first the specialty products and the O&M business pillars had a direct and positive impact on our adjusted EBITDA. Such strategy allowed us to increase our recurrent revenues to 84% and thus contributed to improve our predictability and our customer retention. At slide number 7, we can observe how the level of recurrent revenues by nature has evolved over the previous fiscal periods. The strategic decision to focus in growing recurring sales and focusing on customer retention has allowed us to significantly de-risk the business, improve cash flow, and gross profit margins. On slide number 8, we can see that the consolidated revenues have increased by 20% year over year from an LTM perspective. Over the same period, the adjusted EBITDA increased by 77%. The significant improvement is notably due to the acquisition of Ace South in Texas, to its successful integration, to the sales synergies captured early after the acquisition, and to the organic growth of our specialty products, particularly for the Piedmont product line. The acceleration of our adjusted EBITDA growth over the revenue increase demonstrates the scalability of our business during the last 12 months. On a tangible manner, we see on page 9 how our business can create value for our customer through an all-inclusive water service experience. This project, located in Virginia, through our strategic partnership with Sustainable Water, is the perfect example of value creation for a large industrial customer. In this case, we provided a water reuse membrane filtration equipment combining our FlexMBR technology with reverse osmosis skids. The system is allowing our customer to reuse its industrial wastewater for cooling tower and irrigation applications. Our all-inclusive water service approach is allowing us to provide a full, accountable, and cost-effective solution. By combining our custom-made membrane equipment to our specialty products attached with a 5-year O&M contract, we are using our in-depth expertise from all three business pillars to create value for our customer and our shareholders. Currently, 5 other similar projects are under design and execution. Another example of value creation and sustainability improvement is how we have grown our relationship with the city of Moss Point in Mississippi. Through our local O&M team involved with the city since 2008, we have been able to implement multiple upgrades allowing to improve performance, reduce maintenance costs, and realize immediate energy savings. Our automatization and control team installed a new panel to monitor continuously energy savings, paying itself for the capital upgrade. As mentioned earlier in the call, the renewal of a large O&M project in Mississippi, composed of 9 wastewater plants, represent a unique opportunity to capture multiple CapEx upgrades required to improve performance and energy efficiency. We intend to focus on this in the coming quarters and fiscal years. In the second quarter ended December 31st, 2019, Piedmont was also extremely busy delivering large customer orders and securing new orders on world-class desalination projects. As shown on page 11, multiple large filter housings and couplings orders were delivered on flagship projects in Chile and Saudi Arabia. Moreover, during the same period, The team was able to secure new couplings and filter housings order totaling $3.5 million, including an order for the largest desalination plant in the world, located nearby Abu Dhabi. Once constructed, this project, named Tawila, will have a capacity of 900,000 cubic meters per day, the equivalent of 11 times the largest desalination plant in North America, located in Carlsbad, California. This will certainly be added to the prestigious client reference list that we have built through the years. It will also translate into potential other business opportunities, notably for the filters and for the specialty chemicals that will be required during the operation of the plant. I will now pass it on to Marc Blanchet, our CFO, who will review and discuss the financial performance of our company for the second quarter and the December 31st, 2019.
Thank you, Frederic. I invite you to go to slide 13, first business pillar. So first we'll go business pillar by business pillar, each of the results, and then after I'll talk about the consolidated results. So first business pillar, project and aftermarket. Revenues for the second quarter stood at $7.4 million, which is a decrease compared to the $11.9 million last year. On a last 12-month basis, so if we look at it on a 12-month basis, revenue stands at 33.7, which is a decrease from 42.5 last year. The weight of projects on a consolidated revenue significantly decreased. On the last 12-month basis, project revenue represented 40% last year. This year, it only represents 27% of the consolidated revenues. It is explained by the fact that on a last 12-month basis, consolidated revenue increased by 20%, while the project last 12-month revenues decreased by 20%. The decrease of project revenue is partly due to the project delay. Some project revenues have been postponed due to suspension of a project. This is the frustrating nature of project. Revenue recognition is lumpy, and forecasts may be affected by project delay or canceled. This is what happened in our second quarter, and project delay will also impact the third and fourth quarter. At this point, it is $3 to $5 million of value of project being delayed to the following year. It is for this reason that management has focused its effort over the last few years on de-risking the business and reduce the weight of project on the consolidated revenue. It is by design that the project revenue in percentage on the overall revenue of the business will tend to decrease. We're very selective on the choice of project we bid. We're focusing on project with higher gross profit margin potential or project that will generate revenue for operation and maintenance and aftermarket. As for the gross profit margin, we can see the result of our strategy of being selective. It stood at $1.5 million. Or 19.7%, compared with $1.8 million or 14% for the same quarter last year. It's a decrease in dollar by $300,000, but an improvement in percentage over revenue. This decrease in revenue impacted the project EBAC negatively. Project EBAC stood at $400,000 or 4.8% during Q2 2020, compared to $700,000 or 6% for Q2 2019, representing a decrease of $300,000 and a decrease in percentage. This decrease in percentage is impacted by the decrease in revenue, but with the same cost structure in place. Since sales activity are very high, we don't intend to adjust this cost structure at this point. Project backlog stood at 37.7 on December 31st, 2019, compared to 52.5 last year, representing a decrease of 28%. The project backlog is well balanced with diversification between water, wastewater projects, industrial, and municipal, which reduces the risk related to focusing on one single market. The backlog is decreasing, but the pipeline is still very rich in opportunity. We're actually bidding on projects that could replenish the backlog quickly if some of these projects are won. As explained earlier, the focus for this business pillar is to improve the gross profit margin prior to focusing on growing the volume of revenues. Therefore, we remain very selective on opportunities that we bid in order to focus on projects that will have higher gross profit margin and that have the potential to generate recurring revenues from operation and maintenance and aftermarket. Second business pillar now, slide 14, revenues from this pillar stood at $10.4 million during the second quarter of this year compared to $5.9 last year, representing an increase of $4.5 million, or 76%. This increase in revenue for this business pillar is supported by the acquisition of Genesis, which was closed on November 15th, which generated $1.6 million for only 1.5 months of revenues. The increase of revenue also is also impacted by significant orders of Piedmont that were delivered during this quarter, and also the sales of maple, which have increased compared to last year since the maple producers have recovered from the bad season in 2018 and are preparing for the upcoming maple season. On a last 12-month basis, revenue increased significantly from $22 million last year to $30 million this year. This is the result of the effort we've done to increase the revenue of the product business pillar. The investment done in Piedmont, combined with the acquisition of Genesis, will continue to generate growth of the revenue in the upcoming quarters. The gross profit margin stood at $4 million, or 39%, for the second quarter of this fiscal year, compared to 2.3 or 39 last year, representing an increase of $1.7 million, but a very small decrease in percentage. This variation is mainly due to the business mix within the business pillar. During the second quarter, we had higher level of revenue coming from Piedmont and Maple business line, which have lower gross profit margin than PWT or Genesis. The gross profit margin increased by 75%, which is in line with the increase of revenue of 76%. Specialty product EBAC stood at $2.2 million, or 21%, compared to $900,000, or 14.9% last year, representing an increase of 1.3%, or 155%. The increase is due to the higher level of revenue and good control on operating and selling expenses, as well as the addition of Genesis. I invite you to go on slide 15, operation and maintenance. For Q2 2020, our operation and maintenance recurring revenues have increased to $15.6 million compared to $11.6 million for Q2 last year, representing a 34% growth. Of the $4 million revenue increase, $3.8 million come from the acquisition of Hayes, which was acquired in December 2018. On a last 12-month basis, the increase we increased from $40 million to $61 million. Most of this increase is coming from Hayes. The gross profit margin stood at $2.2 million, or 17.8, compared to $2.2 or 18.7 last year. The EBAC stood at 1.7 or 11.2 during Q2, compared to 1.4 or 12.2 last year, representing an increase of $300,000 or 23%. This variation is due, again, essentially due to the addition of Hayes. As at December 31st, 2019, the backlog of operation and maintenance stood at $105 million, representing a 10% increase compared to last year. This increase is boosted by the renewal of three long-term contracts with existing customers of utility partners. It's important to remember that Hayes operation and maintenance contracts are not included in the backlog, since most of the Hayes contracts are with municipal utility district and our evergreen contract. This significant backlog, combined with the high recurring MUD customers of Hayes, are providing us an excellent visibility on the revenue for the upcoming quarters. Now, if we look at it on a consolidated basis, slide 16, we reported revenues of $33.3 million for the second quarter of 2020. It is an increase of 13.5% compared to the same quarter of previous fiscal year. As explained earlier, this increase is mainly coming from the acquisition of Genesis and Hayes, as well as the organic growth of the specialty product business pillar. Hayes contributed to $3.8 million of that growth since the acquisition was closed on December 1st, 2018. The gross profit margin ratio increased to 24.8% compared to 21.3% last year. The increase of the gross profit margin in percentage is explained by the increase of the gross profit margin in percentage coming from specialty product, and the adoption of new accounting rule IFRS 16, which resulted in a decrease of the COGS expense by $100,000 for the second quarter. For those who are less familiar with this new accounting rule, IFRS 16, what it does essentially, on an accounting perspective, it considers leases the same way as assets are considered. On the P&L, rent expenses have been replaced by amortization expenses and interest accretion. On the balance sheet, we will be able to identify it in a new section, right of use assets and lease liabilities. Slide 17, SG&A expenses increased this quarter compared to the same quarter previous fiscal year. The increase is due to the acquisition of Genesis, the acquisition of Hayes, creation of a new procurement department, and some hiring in Piedmont and admin team to support the growth. The adoption of IFRS 16 leases resulted in a decrease of SG&A expenses by $200,000 for the second quarter. The objective is to maintain SG&A over revenue ratio below 18% threshold. Adjusted EBITDA, slide 18. The adjusted EBITDA increased by $300,000 to reach $2.3 million during the second quarter compared to $1.4 last year. The adjusted EBITDA in percentage increased to 6.9% for Q2 2020 compared to 4.7% for the same quarter last year. This increase of the adjusted EBITDA was driven by the increase of revenue, increase of gross profit margin coming partly from Genesis and Piedmont, and the impact of the adoption of IFRS 16. Also, the adoption of IFRS 16 in the second quarter 2020 contributed to reduce by $300,000 the operation lease expenses for the quarter. Excluding the adjustment of IFRS 16, the adjusted EBITDA would have been 6% of revenue. Therefore, the impact of IFRS 16 is nearly 1% of the adjusted EBITDA. In the previous call in November, I expressed the objective of the management to reach an adjusted EBITDA of 7% to 8% of revenues. I want to reiterate that we maintain this objective. The working capital increased by $700,000, so it's slide 19, financial position. So the working cap increased by $700,000. It was at 12.8 on June 30, 2019, and it increased to 13.5 at the end of the last quarter. The working capital is mainly impacted by IFRS 16, which added on December 31st $1.1 million in the current portion of the lease liability. The increase in the working cap is also due to the addition of Genesis in the balance sheet. So receivable increased by 3.2, inventory increased by $600,000, and account payable were at 14.6, and most of this is due to the acquisition, the integration of Genesis. On the net debt, slide 20. It increased by $8.2 million to reach $18 million on December 31st, 2019. The significant increase in the net debt compared to Q1 is explained by the new debt of $12 million with National Bank related to the acquisition of Genesis, which took place on November 15th. However, the corporation was able to repay $1.3 million of its bank loan during the quarter and an additional $100,000 on the long-term debt, which contributed to reduce the net debt as of December 31st. We anticipate to reduce the net debt by $2.5 to $3 million by June 30, 2020. Cash flow from operating activities, slide 21. Talking about cash flow, the operation activities used $0.4 million in cash for Q2 2020 compared to $2.1 million of cash flow from operating activities generated for the same quarter last year. The decrease in cash flow from operating activities is coming from the change in working cap items. As you can see on the slide, the cash flow from operating activities before change in working capital items is higher this quarter than for the same period last year. This concludes my remark on the financial section. I will now hand the call back to Frederick for conclusion remarks.
Thank you, Mark. In summary, at slide number 22, we keep executing our business plan focus on growing predominantly our specialty products offering and O&M service footprint. Through our unique business model, we are promoting high customer retention, reaching 84% in recurrent revenues by nature, and allowing us, at the same time, to de-risk the business. These efforts on a last 12-month period have resulted in revenue growth of 13.5%, while the adjusted EBITDA has increased by 68% over the same period. On the last 12-month basis, we have shown the scalability of our business model as our revenues have increased by almost 20%, punctuated by the acquisition of Aize and Genesis. During the same LTM basis, the adjusted EBITDA has improved by 76%. The acquisition of Genesis, completed in November 2019, on top of being immediately accretive financially, is transformational to our business in three ways. First, it will allow us to create a strong and complete portfolio of products combining the best of the two worlds, the proven chemistry of Genesis, with the innovative and green chemistry developed by PWT. Second, it will allow us to build one of the largest distribution networks in the world for specialty chemicals. The distribution platform will count approximately 100-plus distributors located in new and complementary geographies. Third and finally, the acquisition will allow us to increase our specialty chemicals capabilities by producing chemicals not only in California but also in UK. This manufacturing expansion will enable us to reduce, in some cases, freight costs and avoid commercial tariffs. We are also proud to announce that we have been ranked fifth on the top 10 water technology breakthroughs of the decade. This nomination by the GWI publication, the Global Water Intelligence, based in UK, recognized the benefits and competitive advantage of our open source membrane platform, the FiberFlex and the FlexMBR. Our strategy is working, and our customers benefit today from a more complete and diversified offering of products and services, allowing them to grow their business as a distributor, or to benefit from an integrated and accountable customer care. This year, we will be celebrating our 20th anniversary as shown on slide number 23. 20 years of innovation, dedication, and excelling. Over the years, we have met many challenges, building a remarkable team and serve a growing international clientele through a network of passionate and competent distributors. Our membrane filtration know-how, combined with our entrepreneurial boldness, has made H2O Innovation a leader in the water treatment industry, characterized by its reliable equipment, exceptional customer service, and cutting-edge technologies. H2O Innovation now has nearly 700 employees based in Canada, USA, Spain, and UK, more than 750 systems installed in North America, and export its specialty products in more than 70 countries. Our unique business model, based on three pillars, encourages customer retention and long-term relationships. With a solid business model, we foresee the next 20 years very positively. Thank you to our customers and dedicated colleagues who contribute every day to grow H2 Innovation. This now completes the management presentation. I will now turn it back to the operator for the Q&A period.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, press star one on your telephone. If you'd like to withdraw a question, press the pound key. Please hold while we compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Daniel Rosenberg with Haywood Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to clarify, you mentioned some project work delays. So could you please repeat what was delayed and when you expect it to come back online? And I believe you also mentioned that there was one postponed or canceled. So just to clarify there.
Yeah. Hello, Daniel. So indeed, I did mention that we have one project that is being delayed. At this point, it's $3 to $5 million that we in our forecast that are undisclosed that we anticipated to recognize over this fiscal year that will be postponed. At this point, we put it in next fiscal year.
And Daniel, if I may add a little bit of color related to this project in particular, it is in California. It's not unusual. We saw so many projects, facing similar permitting issues and delays and projects, being pushed in time. It's just so painful to get, the project going in California. So that's why at this point we felt more comfortable and conservative to consider this project, push to the following year. That's the only reason.
Okay, and then in terms of the backlog, so we're also seeing the, you guys are being more selective on which projects come through the pipeline. So wondering if the mix between project and O&M, how you guys see that going forward?
Well, predominantly, the O&M will still remain bigger, particularly with the latest renewal that we had. It's part of our strategy and focus also. However, I have to say that looking at the current sales pipeline that we have, where we see a couple of projects just on a verge to be confirmed and secured, I think it's just a matter of time before we see this backlog, returning to a more quote unquote normal, level. Now, we're still very selective, and by the way, there's a number of projects at this point that we have in the backlog where we have received the notification to perform the engineering, but not the remaining portion of the PO. In a sense, for example, there might be a PO, a total project of $1 million, where we received a notification to proceed and a PO for only $200,000. So the $200,000 will only be accounted into our PO, into our backlog, sorry, but we know in the back end of this that there are, the remaining 700,000 plus, related to the same project. So, again, it's a matter of time. It's a matter of seeing, this moving forward, that we'll see this backlog replenish in a proper level.
Okay, and then in terms of integrations, how are things progressing at Genesis? What are the exciting opportunities? You gave a nice target this year of continued EBITDA expansion. So what gives you the confidence of turning that revenue into higher margin business to the bottom line?
Yes. So integration is going very well according to plan. We have a team going there and visiting, on a continuous basis. I would say that the main key points related to, internal controls, and delegation of authorities has been implemented right after the acquisition. So now we're entering, the more fun part of it. And immediately after a couple of months only, we're receiving very positive feedback from our distributors in a way that they are showing significant interest in starting to sell our PWT product line as well. So that creates a whole new level of opportunities and that we did not anticipate necessarily. On the other end, we're also seeing interest from the same distributors of Genesis to also distribute and resell the Piedmont product line. This was also something new that we didn't necessarily put on our radar just to play it more conservatively. So this is a very exciting time for us. We are now going into the phase of expanding and putting the team together and growing it. And so far, it's going according to plan.
Okay, good to hear. I'll pass the line. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone. Your next question comes from the line of Raveel Afzal with Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Good results. Thank you for hosting the call. Just want to start off first with a much more a macro question. We have seen a lot of tailwind for the sustainability sector, especially since December, and some of the other companies in the water space have, especially the larger ones, have caught on, have benefited from this tailwind. Can you talk a little bit about your sustainability initiatives? And maybe we'll start off with that, and then how you're looking to make sure that these sustainability initiatives are evident to the investment community as well.
Well, I think, it is some discussion that we had internally, how can we make it more obvious to our investors community? Because, sustainability effort is something that we do every day. I mean, as I mentioned on the couple of slides today, I just gave the example of Moss Point and the other one for an important industrial customer in Virginia. This is what we're doing every day. I mean, recycling water, reusing water, focusing on implementing solutions to reduce energy consumption, monitoring this energy consumption. These are all efforts, tangible efforts, that obviously are in line with you know, sustainability effort. I think now for us, and we discuss it internally, it's a matter of trying to promote that slightly more through our website, through our presentation, and put a little bit more emphasis. So, but for us, I mean, there's nothing new in our strategy except that, you know, taking advantage of a three business pillar is, you know, carrying value for the customer. As you know or may not know, but the PWT product line in itself, by being, you know, a phosphate-free solution, being an antiscalant, I would say, of the future, is in itself very sustainable. And we have been doing it for the last, you know, 10 years plus. So I think you're right. For us, it's a matter of creating visibility for our shoulders, and we'll put more emphasis on that.
It's a matter of communicating properly, yeah.
Exactly, and that's great. And then in terms of reusing water, can you speak a little bit more about how much water is being reused, and if you could just quantify, help give us some more data points on that?
Yes, we'll come through some analysis with this. You know, we do have, you know, a good one third of our projects that we currently delivered is on water reuse. On water reuse end, so we could certainly. I don't have the numbers on top of my head right now, but we'll make sure we communicate that on a very specific spot.
We're actually working on that, Ravil, in order to, and it has been asked by different stakeholders and board members as well. For example, what is your installed base of water reuse plan over the last 3 years or 5 years? So we've asked our team to go over and see what is being done, and we could see what is the install base we've done, and also, let's say, how many wastewater plants are we operating, or try to monitor how much gallons per day of wastewater our teams are treating. So these are the type of data we're trying to pull in order to be a bit more transparent on the and make the stakeholders realize the sustainability that we are involved with.
Makes sense. And is there anything you can tell, like quantify something on the energy efficiency side too? Because I wasn't fully aware of that previously. The systems that would have been used in the past versus your new systems, how does that impact energy efficiency? Because obviously that's a big one.
Yeah.
So we'll make sure that we create some visibility and communication line along this.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Makes sense, yeah, just because you guys are in such a critical area of sustainability. So just moving on to some other smaller questions. Your specialty chemicals division is obviously delivering very robust organic growth. Can you help us better think about how this like what your organic revenue growth forecasts are for this business, not just for this year, just for this fiscal year, but looking ahead? Do you think this is a mid-single-digit organic growth business, higher than that? If you could just help quantify that, especially with the new distributors and all.
Well, I think to aim, you know, at a range, you know, between the eight plus, you know, is definitely within reach. I think it's a combination of different things. First, adding and expanding and creating new products for our distributors. This is something that we're starting to see more and more. It's good. It's a good problem to have, if I may say it. Our distributors are asking us for more and new products, so that creates in itself great opportunity. I think, you know, the market in itself is growing. We're still small. And looking at the desalination market in itself and our strategy moving forward, even though we might see a slowdown in the construction of new desalination plant, the mega desalination plant, keep in mind that we'll still need to operate these plants. So it means that they will still need, and they will need chemicals. They will need tremendous amount of chemicals, tremendous amount of filters. So that's why I know strategically for us, combining our different product line to believe that we can do 8% plus growth a year organically is definitely within reach.
Sounds great. Thank you. And then just going back to the project backlog, can you tell us like what the proportions are for industrial versus municipal now versus, say, a year ago?
Well, today, on top of what we see there, it's definitely more weighted towards industrial. The backlog, but looking at the pipeline itself, which unfortunately we don't communicate the pipeline for different strategic reasons, but it is highly more weight toward industrial this year than it was last year. So we're starting to see a slightly more activity in Western Canada, for example, in the oil and gas sector, slightly more in the mining sector as well.
Got it. And have you guys moved your resources somewhat away from projects into your other verticals in terms of sales efforts, or is it the same amount of people, or is it the same amount of people focused more on the industrial side? Could you just talk a little bit more on your sales strategy on the project side? I know it's a lower margin business.
No. I totally agree with you. It's important, but you're right. We have moved some resources within the same pillar. So as you described, the first business pillar is project and aftermarket. So we do have number of key, good, experienced engineers, technicians, and resources that we have been able to move very successfully from the project for state dedication to now ensuring continuity of customer service and support in the aftermarket P&L, if I can say. So this created results. This is something that obviously is very important because we realize that there are a number of opportunities that, you know, we have right in front of us that we can secure and create value right there. So we have put slightly more efforts to reassign some of resources, and it has shown success.
Perfect. Just one more for me. With respect to the O&M contracts, could you just remind us again? You know, you said that the growth, you guys were able to renew existing contracts. Now, did these contracts grow as well in terms of size? Is that why your backlog went from 95 to 105?
Yeah, the major of the growth is coming from a renewal of a very large project that was over 6 years in Mississippi. So this created the vast majority of the bulk of the 30 million plus increase. But you're right also, there are organic growth opportunities within existing contracts that we're securing, you know, from time to time, you know, from scope expansion, adding a team there to conduct additional work on different utilities. So this is something that also did not exist prior to the acquisition of Utility Partners and A's, and we have implemented what we call the grassroots initiative to our different project manager and client service manager, allowing them to touch a little bit of, I would say, a success fee or commission base, whatever you define it, but to create these growth opportunities and enable us to expose the company to more opportunities. So for example, what I've discussed in the presentation today about the various CapEx initiative that we conducted in Moss Point, there are similar opportunities that we see also in the other projects that we're currently operate. The one that we just renewed, where we believe there are multiple $1 million of CapEx opportunities that our engineering and project team could definitely secure.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Gabrielle Long with Beacon Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my questions.
Morning.
A couple things. First, just starting off on within the project division. Thank you for providing the feedback on sort of what's happening in terms of project delays. I'm curious, though. I think in previous calls, you had talked about expecting some better performance in the second half of the fiscal year from the project division. With the delays that you've talked about, the $3 to $5 million in potential delays, do you still anticipate a second half improvement in terms of project revenues over and above the I guess it would have been the $15 million you've reported so far year to date?
No, a little bit better, but not as much as we anticipated initially when in previous calls. You know, when you look at it on the last 12-month basis, you know, revenue went down from 40-plus to 33-ish. I guess we'll stay closer to the 33-ish, 35-ish than going to 40. I know initially our objective was to reach about 40 million for that business pillar. You know, we'll be closer to the 35-ish on a 12-month basis.
Gotcha.
The way we
Yeah, no, that's helpful. Thank you. And then in terms of the pipeline and projects, obviously you've talked about exploring or you're working towards a couple of more meaningful mandates there. Do you, I mean, these are always moving targets, but do you anticipate some of these potential opportunities closing within the current fiscal year, or do you think these are sort of 12-month out RFPs?
No. Yes, please. I mean,
we're expecting some good news. It is what it is. That's the beauty of project. But Gabe, just to you're probably looking at revenue recognition. This is something, though, that is difficult to anticipate. Generally, revenue recognition at the beginning of a project is lower. Therefore, you know, most of the revenues of the upcoming projects to be secured won't necessarily generate much revenues within the fiscal year. It's kind of replenish the forecast for next year.
Right. But you do anticipate some of these deals closing in the current fiscal year, though, potentially?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, our sales team is more active than ever. Our process engineer are continuously bidding day in, day out. Every week we have these bid meetings of significant size on projects that are currently at final stage review that we hope to translate into POs.
Right. And likewise, within O&M, you guys have obviously talked about in the past about some larger transformational contracts that you're working towards. Do you have a update in terms of how things are going there pipeline-wise on O&M with some of these larger opportunities?
Yeah, it's still working on these. I mean, again, when you're talking about O&M on municipal world, I mean, you're talking also a lot about public perception, which is really the gray area, and that creates, you know, sometimes, you know, length in the evaluation and finalization process. So some of the projects that we're pursuing, we need to rally, obviously, you know, the public perception of the private sector coming in and operating these plants. But overall, I mean, the O&M business is still very active. And again, we're taking more and more advantage of the project delivered by H2O to capture and create organic growth within the clients we have already.
Gotcha. That's helpful. Thank you. And then lastly, in terms of specialty, obviously a very strong quarter in fiscal Q2. Can you just talk about, and obviously it was helped by a bunch of things, but how much of that $3.5 million Piedmont order actually fell into Q2? Can you just talk about that?
Well, we don't report, you know, Piedmont sales per se. They're part of the second business pillar. The $3.5 million that we announced is absolutely new orders that will be partially recognized and delivered in the second half of the year, mostly.
Gotcha. No, that's helpful. And likewise, like I said, you also don't break down sort of maple contributions, but is the anticipation that you should see continued seasonal strength within maple within fiscal Q3?
Yes.
As you understand our business very well, Gabe, good to raise it up. Indeed, there's always that seasonality effect on Q3 coming from the maple. This combined with a full quarter of Genesis and the growth of Piedmont compared to last year, we're looking forward to report the Q3 results.
Awesome. Maybe one last thing. Mark, you reiterated the EBITDA expectations for fiscal Q2. I guess the only comment I'd make is that 7-8% EBITDA margins, that's unchanged from your prior to the Genesis acquisition, and that was obviously a very creative transaction. Are you just being conservative in terms of the EBITDA outlook, including Genesis, just given what's happening in projects, i.e. that there could be room for upside to that range as the project division starts to ramp up again revenue-wise?
I just want to manage expectations and excitement, and we're still understanding this business of Genesis combined with PWT and the Piedmont growth delays that could be generated otherwise. So I don't want to create over expectations. So 7-8%, we're comfortable with that.
Okay, gotcha. One last thing, just number wise, Mark, do you have the current basic shares outstanding?
Sorry, can you repeat?
The current basic shares outstanding.
Oh, 75 million shares outstanding.
Perfect.
Is that what you asked?
Yeah, that's perfect. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Go ahead.
10 million warrants.
Yep, perfect. Thank you very much for your time, and congrats on the progress.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this time. I will turn the call back over to the presenters for closing remarks.
Thank you. So that completes the call today. Thank you very much for joining in, and the presentation and call will be available, you know, on our website. Thank you, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.